We would like to look at the 17th chapter beginning with verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic. He is sore vexed. Oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Here Jesus declares to his disciples the tremendous potential of faith. Now, in our scripture reading, we discovered that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is trusting God when I don't see any evidence that God is working. It is the confidence that comes from knowing that God is in control. It is thus resting in the love of God and in the ability of God to work the impossible. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, to rest in the Lord and to fret not thyself. And though that is the command, how often we fail to really rest in the Lord, but instead are fretting over the circumstances that we are faced with. Worry, fear, anxiety, fretting are all signs of a lack of faith. Now, the Bible tells us that God has given to each of us a measure of faith. Faith is something that God has just sort of built into us. Trusting is natural. Actually, we learn not to trust. It seems that we by nature just are trusting. But by experience, oftentimes, we learn not to trust. We learn that there are certain people that are not trustworthy. But it always seems to be a disappointment, a shock, when we find that a person is not trustworthy. Because by nature, I just sort of trust people. By experience, I learn not to trust some people. Once trust has been destroyed, it is very difficult to rebuild. In marriage, we see this problem often, where one of the partners in marriage has made certain promises, but has broken those promises. And because of the broken promises, sometimes there is a breakup in the marriage. The one has become discouraged because of the broken promises. They had put their trust in the other. They had committed their lives to the other. But the other has not proved to be trustworthy. And when this condition creates a separation, so often the guilty person will say, "Oh, I promise I'll never do that again. I promise." But you see, they have promised before. The trust has been violated. And it is so difficult to create again that trust that once existed. So often they'll come to us and they'll say, "Call my wife, will you? Tell her I'm changed. Tell her I'm different." That won't do any good because you've broken the trust. And the only way the trust can be rebuilt is by time, proving that you are trustworthy. Relations are built on trust. Relationships are destroyed when one proves that they cannot be trusted. Our relationship with God is built on our trust in God. But God has proven himself to be trustworthy. Now, oftentimes, our faith is tested. I say I trust in God. And God oftentimes tests the limit of my trust. As Abraham was given to us as an example of a man of faith, we see how God tested Abraham's faith, asking him to offer his son as a sacrifice on a mountain that God would show to him. Now, God had promised to Abraham that through Isaac, your seed will be called. Isaac had not yet had any children. God is now saying, offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And Abraham's faith in the promise of God is being tested. Through Isaac shall thy seed be called. How can his seed be called through Isaac if he offers Isaac as a sacrifice to God? The only way that Abraham can see is that God will raise him from the dead, because God has given his promise to me that through Isaac the seed shall be called. So in that confidence that God will keep his promise, Abraham went to Mount Moriah, and God allowed him to come to the very point of binding Isaac, putting him on the altar, and raising the knife. Now that's faith being tested to the nth degree. And we oftentimes find that God has tested our faith, but many times we fail the test. We so often seem to give God certain deadlines or limits. Lord, if you don't work by Friday at 12 o'clock, then I'm going to have to take things in my own hands. And we oftentimes fail in that test of faith. I have found that he seems to be the God of the ninth hour. That so often he doesn't come through until you're right at the deadline, and in some cases even beyond the deadline. I think of the case of Lazarus, where Mary and Martha sent the message to Jesus, "Come quickly, the one you love is dying." And when Jesus did not respond immediately, Lazarus died. And by the time he arrived at Bethany, he had been buried for 4 days. And Martha said, "Lord, if you would only have been here, my brother would not have died." In other words, "Lord, you could have worked. You had an opportunity to heal him. Now it's too late. You waited too long. It took you too long to get here. And you've gone over the deadline." And so many times we feel, well, the Lord had a chance, but he failed, and he's gone over the deadline, and you know, we sort of give up. But we find that Jesus waited deliberately until it was past the deadline of human possibilities in order that he might perform an even greater work in the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And I think that sometimes God goes over our deadlines in order to show us even a greater work of God than what we were anticipating. Now, if you will just but put your trust completely in God, these are the things that God has promised he would do and would be for you. He will be a buckler to those who trust in him. He will be entreated by those who trust in him. They will be blessed who put their trust in him. None that trust in him will be desolate. He will deliver those who trust in him. He is a shield unto those who trust in him. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion that cannot be removed. They that trust in him shall be safe. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We read that in Hebrews this morning concerning the faith of Enoch. Before he was translated into heaven, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. In the story that we have here in Matthew, we see how disappointed Jesus was with his disciples because of their lack of faith. When this father came to him concerning his son, who was a lunatic, he said, "I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him." And then Jesus, speaking of the disciples, speaks of his disappointment in their lack of faith. He said, sort of a groaning of his spirit, "O faithless and perverse generation, How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And then Jesus commanded the demon to come out, and the child was cured in that very hour. But I wonder how many times the Lord must be troubled by our lack of faith. As we are so worried, so filled with anxiety, going around fretting over our situation. And I wonder how many times Jesus doesn't say concerning us, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long do I have to put up with you?" It was at this point that the disciples did a very wise thing. They took Jesus apart and they said, "Okay, Lord, how come we couldn't do it?" They acknowledged their failure. And they're asking Jesus the reasons why they were unable to cast the demon out of that boy. And it was at this point that Jesus told them plainly, "It's just your unbelief." And then he gave this little lesson on faith and the potential of faith. If you had faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to the mountain there, "Remove from this place and be settled over here," and nothing would be impossible unto you. Now, whenever I read that, I know how small a grain of mustard seed is. And if I just had that much faith, it could move mountains. It makes me wonder just how little my faith must be. Probably take an electron microscope to find it. If faith as a grain of mustard seed can move a mountain, transplant Mount Baldy between here and Catalina, and I wonder, "Lord, do I have any faith?" Now, as we approach the potentials of faith, and we see the potential of faith, just the smallest amount could move mountains, it is important that first of all we realize when Jesus gives these broad kind of promises, "Nothing would be impossible to you," that we realize that he is talking to his disciples. His disciples took him apart from the crowd, from the multitude. They're talking with him personally, and these remarks of Jesus concerning the potential of faith are given to his disciples. And I emphasize that point. What constitutes being a disciple? Jesus had said in the previous chapter, "If any man would come after me," that is, be my disciple, "let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Important. When Jesus talks about the great potentials of faith, he is talking to men who have denied themselves, who have taken up the cross, that is, submitted themselves fully to the will of God, and who are following Jesus Christ. These are men that are no longer looking for things for themselves. There's a lot of teaching today concerning faith, and the things that are being suggested, that if you could only develop and learn the keys of faith, that you can use this faith to produce all kinds of wealth, all kinds of luxurious living, all kinds of wonderful things for yourself. But Jesus is talking to those who have denied themselves. And faith is not a medium whereby I can amass to myself diamonds and homes and these kinds of material things. We look at the things that have been accomplished through faith. Going back to Hebrews chapter 11, which we read, by faith, Enoch was translated into heaven without dying. By faith, Noah escaped the judgment of God upon the earth when God destroyed the earth with a flood. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell when Joshua and the people of Israel had encircled them 13 times. By faith, kingdoms were subdued. By faith, the mouth of lions were stopped. By faith, the three Hebrew children survived the fiery furnace. By faith, those that were weak were made strong. By faith, the armies of the aliens were put to flight. By faith, women received their dead back to life. We realize the great potentials of faith. But it is interesting to look at what happened to the men of faith. Men of faith have been tortured. They have had trials of cruel mockings. They've been scourged. They've been imprisoned. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were slain with a sword. And they wandered about in sheepskins, destitute, afflicted, and tormented, though they were men of faith. What does this tell us then concerning faith? Faith does not always deliver you from adverse circumstances. Faith did not deliver Daniel from going into the lion's den. It did preserve him when he was in the lion's den, but it didn't keep him from the lion's den. Your faith will not necessarily keep you out of difficult straits. It will keep you in those times of difficulty. Faith did not keep Daniel's friends from the fiery furnace, but it kept them in the fiery furnace. I walk in faith, but that will not keep me from one day walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But it will sustain me when God sees fit to lead me into that valley. The Lord said, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and neither shall the flame be kindled upon thee." He didn't promise that there wouldn't be times in which we would be overwhelmed by floods. There wouldn't be an escape from the fires, but that His presence will be with us no matter what situations we might be facing. And the greatest faith of all is not the faith that delivers me from the problems, but the faith that sustains me when I'm going through the problems. That faith and that confidence that God is in control, that nothing is happening to me but what God has allowed it to happen. And because He has allowed it to happen, He has a good purpose in it and through it. And thus, that lack of struggling, that lack of fretting, that lack of anxiety, but just the committing of my ways to the Lord. Well, the Lord's in control. The Lord's going to take care of it. We used to sing the chorus, "I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." And of course, you know, there were all kinds of verses added to that. And there was one, "I have the happy hope that heckles heathens down in my heart." And you know, that kind of faith that just trusts God, where you're not all upset. You're not wringing your hands and you're not just going around in sorrow saying, "I don't know what we're going to do." But you have a smile. People say, "Well, have things changed yet?" "No, they're still pretty desperate." "Well, how can you be so happy?" God's in control. And it heckles them that you're not all disturbed, you're not all upset. But that's what faith is all about. It's knowing that God is in control of the issues of my life, and it's just resting in that fact comfortably. Resting comfortably that God's going to take care of it. I think that we make a great mistake when we think that if we just had enough faith, we wouldn't have any problems. Not. But God will be with us and give us the strength to face every problem victoriously. Faith is never intended as a means by which I might get my will done. It is a means by which God can accomplish His purposes through my life. And it may be God's will that I suffer. It was surely His will that His only begotten Son should suffer. Peter speaks about us suffering according to the will of God. The greatest faith is not manifested in my escaping all suffering, but in trusting God to keep me, no matter what might be transpiring in my life, even suffering. Faith does not always provide an escape from, but it will provide an acceptance of. I can accept my circumstances because I know that God is in control and that God loves me. And that is the kind of faith that pleases God. That is the kind of faith that honors God. That is the kind of faith that God wants us to have this day. Have faith in God was the command of Jesus. Father, we come today looking at this subject of faith, realizing, Lord, how our lack of faith has caused you, no doubt, great consternation, even as did the lack of the faith of your disciples. Lord, help us not to fret, not to worry, not to be anxious over the issues of our lives. Lord, it's so easy to get upset when we read of the conditions of the nation, the conditions of the world, when we see the things that are happening. It's so easy, Lord, to lose that peace that comes from knowing that you are in control. And so, Lord, help us that we might learn to be focused upon you. And no matter what may transpire in the world around us, let us realize, Lord, that it could not have happened unless you had allowed it to happen. And thus may we rest in you. Dispel our fears, our anxieties. May we trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? It may be that you are facing what appears to be an impossible situation. It may be that this week is the deadline, that God has only a couple of more days to work things out, and you're convinced that if he doesn't, you're going under. But know that Jesus said, with faith, all things are possible. And God wants to trust your trust in him, and he'll put that trust to test. But know this, he will not let you fall. He has promised to sustain you, and he will keep his word. Have faith in God.